Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Ngoga. This evening we talk about immigration crisis from Africa. With us tonight is Hussein Kiflo. He's a social and political commentator. Welcome to the show, Kiflo.
Thank you, Douglas. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst and regular panelist. Welcome back again, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me and giving it to your listeners.
You're very much welcome. Now, our topic, as I said, is the immigration crisis as far as African migrants dying on the high seas, crossing to Europe, and undergoing a lot of hardship. So here, I don't know, Suleiman, there are countries in West Africa mainly, and on the Horn even, countries like Eritrea, migrants have been seen crossing to the Mediterranean Sea, crossing to Europe. First of all, it's a sad situation.
Very sad, but understandable. On the continent in 2016, the aggregate economic growth has been 0.9% on average on the continent. We have got shrinking economies on the continent because of a number of factors. Of course, the issue of the fall of the prices of commodities has affected us. We have got a budget deficit increasing. We have got foreign reserves dwindling. We have got increasing unemployment. We have got political instability. So much as there has been, towards the end of the year, there has been some improvement in the commodity prices, but by and large, the prices have been low. Many countries have experienced hardship. Unemployment has remained high. It has been very difficult to get jobs. For a young man or woman of 25 to 30 years, Africa offers no hope whatsoever. I think I agree and we understand them that instead of dying a humiliating death on the continent, one would rather die a dignified death on the water. So as far as the continent is concerned, I don't see any hope, anything which can make someone to stay in Uganda, to stay in Gambia, to stay in Cameroon, to stay in Ethiopia, to stay in Eritrea. That is why children, young people have to go, because the continent offers no hope. In addition to all these problems we are having, we have got an antiquated leadership, a rusty leadership, a visionless leadership, which offers no hope whatsoever. That is why it is sad, but somehow understandable why these young men and women are deciding to die on the high seas.
Kiflu, in some other cases, migrants from Middle East, for instance, Syria and elsewhere, were running away from war. That's not the case with African migrants.
Yeah, that's what is so ironical. One of the irony comes out from my own country, Ethiopia. On the one hand, these international communities and some of their less credible and with questionable integrity tell you that Ethiopia is one of the fastest growing economy. And on the other hand, UNHCR and some other agencies, they every now and then they come up with this report that that is showing that the number of desperate migrants are as equal as the almost the stateless Somalia, and they drown in high seas like in Mediterranean and in the Red Sea while trying to cross to Yemen and previously are also trying to cross from Libya to Europe, Italy, Lampedusa, the famous island now, Lampedusa. Their number, I mean, if Somalia's case is obvious, it's still highly unstable. Its stability is being kept by so-called peacekeeping, United Nations peacekeeping force, African peacekeeping force from Uganda and Kenya. So it's natural for a country like that to produce desperate migrants. But if Ethiopia is fastest growing economy, why does Ethiopia produce desperate migrants as equally as Somalia? Nobody, in so-called international community, nobody asks this question. In fact, there is another sad situation is developing. If you remember, towards the end of Gaddafi's rule, the Europeans were about to strike a deal with Gaddafi so that he would stop these desperate migrants from crossing to Europe from his country to Europe, and for that they were about to give him lots and lots of money, but he was overthrown. Now, recently, if you remember, Angela Merkel of Germany went and visited Ethiopia. The reason that she visited Ethiopia is one of the main reason is about stopping desperate migrants from going to Europe. And the Ethiopian regime is using, on top of using this terrorism, now it's using the issue of migrants, Eritrean migrants. They are the ones who are notoriously known for seeking to migrate to Europe. And so the Ethiopian regime is offering itself that it can stop these desperate migrants within its own border. And for that, it's taking money. And and it's very sad. The Ethiopian regime is violating the rights of its own people, let alone to cater to respect refugees' rights. So this is another double standard we're witnessing. The migrants issue is going to be and continue to be explosive issue, and the way the international community are trying to deal with it would make it worse.
Suleiman, the key information there, a point many analysts have been wondering about. Why give aid or money to African leaders to control migration to Europe? The people who are migrating from Africa are doing so partly because their leadership has failed them.
That is the disappointment which comes with the partnership. I think the international community has failed to understand the way the African continent operates. I think they feel the rhetoric which is coming from the continent is sincere. They fail to understand that they are dealing with con men, not leaders on the continent. There is a lot of rhetoric. There is a lot of fake figures which are churned out of economies which are growing, when actually on the ground, poverty is still reigning. There is no energy. There is no there is poor health services. There is rampant corruption, nepotism. So Europe does not know what actually is happening on the ground. They think that there is some sensible government. When they talk of Africa and good government, they think every country is like Botswana, every country is like South Africa. They don't know that some of these regimes in Cameroon, in Gambia, in Togo, in Uganda, they are just con men. They are there to enrich themselves and the elites around them. So that is where the problem is coming from. The European countries like Germany, they don't understand what is going on the ground. That is why we need a lot of lobby to be able to educate them, to conscientize the European continent about what is happening on the continent.
Yeah, we'll still on that point before we leave it and we'll go for a break. Both of you, I want your reaction on this opaque or fake deal between Israel and governments of Uganda and Rwanda. allegedly where they round up African migrants from who are in Israel and ship them to either Uganda or Rwanda. And that's the end of the story. And then, has any of you any idea what this is supposed to mean?
Again, it shows you that Israel is also one of the main partner of the Western countries, if not considered as Western nations itself. And so they don't want, you know, on the one hand, they tell you that there is this provision in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that one has a right to seek asylum. And, you know, you can't seek asylum unless you are able to travel. If you are prevented from traveling, how can you seek asylum? So people, because they are desperate, they take desperate measures to migrate and seek asylum. And now this is what the Western countries, powerful nations such as Israel, are preventing them to do. And some of them, when they manage to enter into their country, they round them up and they make this this kind of, you know, dealing, shady dealings with dictator regimes, rogue regimes like the Ugandan one, Rwanda, and they dump them in Africa. The Ugandan government, I know, because I had been in Uganda as a refugee. I lived there for 7 years. It has some good policy, but that policy, it's on the surface. If you look at it deep, the Ugandan government is using it, you know, to make shady dealings, and they posture themselves as a friendly nation for refugees, but it would create a problem. Now, the dumping of refugees from Israel and in Rwanda and Uganda, that is in violation of all international instruments.
Suleiman, do you have anything to say about this?
Douglas, globalization had its social, economic, and political consequences. One of the problems of caused by globalization was that it broke down borders. In essence, it allows people to move. Without globalization, Europe found itself inundated, and it has got that massive migration has brought economic, social, and political pressures within Europe. They have found themselves in a tight corner. They have to release the pressure. As you have seen, it has already led to the Brexit. It has already shaken the political environment within Europe. It has already shaken America. So they have to find a way to release the pressure from themselves. And the obvious targets are the weak, soft targets within the continent. The soft targets are those dictators where there are no institutions, where there is nobody questioning. That is why you find that countries like Uganda, where there is no order, where there are no institutions, where parliament is dead, where social the civil society is dead, everything is dead. Those are the easiest countries which can be bought out. Otherwise, in a country organized like Botswana, you can't dump people there. In a country organized like Senegal, in a country organized like Ghana, in a country organized like South Africa, you cannot buy out a leader because there is civil society, there are other institutions, they can take the government to court. So that is why they use the soft target. The soft targets are the dictators, the rogue regimes on the continent. That is why you see they are the ones which they are using to dump all this excessive baggage in Europe.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the immigration crisis in Africa as far as Africans, migrants running to Europe and elsewhere. Our panelists are Hussein Kiflu, a social and political commentator, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, here in Washington. Now, gentlemen, is this direction of migration to Europe and elsewhere, if enough African countries attained good governance and democracy and thriving economies, do you foresee adverse migration or people, instead of going to Europe, going to across to other African countries? Let me begin with Kiflu.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Douglas. I, for one, used to toy with this idea. I used to ask these questions, you know, among us, my friends. Like I said, I'd lived in Uganda as a refugee for 7 years, and eventually I was referred for resettlement, and that's how I came to the United States. But it was tragic for me, you know. As an African, I would have loved to live in Africa, and it's so tragic that there is not a single nation in Africa that can take an African who ran away from one part of Africa to another part of Africa. Allegedly, South Africa is one of the strong economies. But you can see what's happening in South Africa. South Africa, there was this xenophobic attack against fellow Africans. There is this historical problems, but South Africans they seem to be venting their frustration against their fellow Africans who have been successful after migrating from another part of Africa and establishing themselves on their soil. And so for all their you know, perceived deprivation, they blame it on African immigrants. But the historical problem boils down to apartheid, to the way their country is controlled by the white minorities. And again, globalization is playing a very unfair game on Africa. Every Western citizen, they simply go to Africa, do whatever they do, whether be it they are investor or not investor. But we Africans, we don't get visa to travel to Europe easily, to come to America, to go to Canada. But every single white person, Western person, they can easily go to Africa.
I see. Suleiman.
Yeah, so this is the double standard of globalization.
I see. Suleiman, you see the same way?
Douglas, leadership is about harnessing a country's natural and human resources to be able to benefit each citizen within the boundaries of that particular country. If the resources of a country are well harnessed, both human and natural, there is no need for any citizen to run out of his birthplace and go to another country, unless it is out of choice, not the first one. The fact that they are migration, it shows the failure of leadership on the continent. Like now, the way you have seen, we have, since independence, we have had failed economic policies. We ourselves failed, and then we are further devastated by the structural adjustment policies. After the structural adjustment policies, many leaders, because of them, are rusted, many of them are antiquated. They cannot be able to reverse them, thanks to Buhari, because you can see an effort from Nigeria to reverse the trend, the destruction which has been done by the structural adjustment program. I hope Nigeria will be able to go through, one, the ability to diversify the economy, the ability to prioritize agriculture, the ability to take the competitive advantage with what you have. Many of our countries, we import more than we export. So the little which we sell from the commodities, we give it back in Europe. Nigeria, Buhari is trying to close that gap, saying we cannot import anyhow. We have to find a way to start diversifying our economies. We have to find a way to start creating opportunities. We don't want the European sympathy. We don't want them to help us, to accommodate us, to resettle us in Europe. No, we want them to to force our countries in Africa to create opportunities for our young people. These are energetic, creative, and ready-to-work population. Young people are ready to work within the continent. Let them be given the opportunities. We need to do away with the antiquated leadership. We get dynamic leadership like that one in Botswana, like in Senegal, like in Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire right now, after the change, it is the fastest growing economy on the continent because of the breather of change which they have had. Whenever you get a change, you get new policies, you get new outlook. So, and then you give hope to the people. So unless we have change on the, in the leadership, we are not going to stop the migration of people into Europe, which is unnecessary because we have got enough resources. We have got enough both the natural and human resources. All we need is to allow us, let's say, to trade with them, with Europe, to get good trading policies. Otherwise, the continent can feed, and even individual countries can feed everybody in these countries.
Now, finally, gentlemen, does any of you see any connection or correlation between good governance and Africans running out from their continent, seeking greener pastures elsewhere? Because some African leaders are on record actually encouraging their people to go and seek employment elsewhere. Some have been encouraging them to go to Middle East and the Arab countries, where their young kids from colleges and universities in Africa go and work as maids, some of them under very difficult slave conditions. Kifulu, do you see a correlation? Because if a government is well run, like Suleiman is saying now, what the improvement we are seeing in Cote d'Ivoire, people would have no cause to go away. And some have even argued that these governments want these people to go away so as not to cause confusion by demanding this and that, social services and the like.
Yes, I see plenty of correlation between good governance and migration. And like you said, it's true. If we take the case of the Ethiopian regime as an example, they not only encourage migration of young Ethiopian girls to go in the Middle East with a slave-like status as maids. In fact, they are also making ruthless lucrative business out of this. Also, some of their loyal cadres have been implicated. Of course, they are trying to cover it up. But it's known, it's a public secret that they're also doing business as human traffickers. Mm-hmm. So we not only have dictatorship in the classical sense we used to know it. These are ruthless people with no compunction to even make ruthless business out of the people they oppress. So they encourage desperate migration. They make business out of it. But otherwise, like you said, as you know, in Africa, for an African, let alone to leave his country, to leave his village is a very, very painful decision. In the good old days, no African wants to leave his country. Ethiopians, I know that they don't want to leave their country. For an Ethiopian, let alone to leave his country, to leave his village is a very, very painful decision. And that applies to many African countries, as I know it. But now Africans have been given no choice. They have ruthless governments with gargantuan appetite. There is no end to their appetite. They steal their country left, right, and center. They impoverish their people. People become desperate. There is instability, persecution, so people migrate. So there is plenty of correlation between good governance and desperate migration.
Yes, Kifulu. I mean, Suleiman, I've seen countries in East Africa, Ethiopia. Kifulu mentioned Ethiopia. I've seen the mushrooming of what so-called employment agencies in countries like Uganda and the rest. Most of them are owned by well-placed people in government, and they are virtually selling these young girls and boys to work as maids in the Middle East in under slave conditions.
A country like Uganda, remittances from outside, from the casual laborers who are scattered all around the world, is a good contribution to GDP. before Museveni took over, the Uganda was known for heavy exports in coffee, in cotton, a good tourist destination. All these ones collapsed. Now, if the country has got no export, if it's getting little from export, yet it needs the foreign exchange, what else? What ideas do they have? What they have is to sell people. That is what they are doing so that they increase the remittances from there. So taking people, those recruitment agents sending people for casual jobs in Europe is a business. Taking security people to Iraq, to Afghanistan, that is a business. Offering peacekeeping, it is business because it comes forex from the EU, from the AU. So all these countries where leaders have run out of the ideas, they are not ashamed. Countries like Uganda, countries like Cameroon, countries like Ethiopia, they are not ashamed to sell the young people to go and do menial jobs so that they can remit money and then help them to contribute on the GDP, or and help them to get money which they can buy arms with so that they even oppress more the people and they stay in power for years.
Lastly, as we wind down, I'll begin with you, Kiflo. Do you see this migration thing backfiring? If Europe, for instance, becomes tougher, we've seen how right-wing movements in the West are gaining ground. If they are anti-migrants and they can't let in people running to them, do you see this one affecting countries in Africa? Briefly, be very brief.
Yes. It's a good thing, in fact. Like leaders like Donald Trump, it backfires. So instead of when people get desperate, if they are prevented from migrating, they become rebels. Even though it may not help Africa in the end, but they would fight against the dictatorship.
They would
become rebels.
I see. Suleiman?
It is unsustainable. It is cruel. It is callous on the side of the leaders. Day in, day out, hundreds are dying on the high seas. They don't even send apologies. They don't even care. So time will come when the young people on the continent will take the Burkina Faso style and know that instead of going to die on the high seas, it is better to finish a clique which is oppressing you, and you restart your economy, you restart good governance, and then stay in your own country. So we need to conscientize the young men. We hope the young people will wake up. We hope they will get the courage to stand against this regime, because when you have got a good government in South Africa, we don't need people to go out of the country. In Botswana, we don't need people to die. So if you have got a responsive government, if you have got an inclusive government, a transparent government, a government which cares for its people, you will not need people to go and die on the high seas. So we hope that the young people who will take responsibility and take their countries back from these dictators who, incidentally, are aging so fast.
I see. Well, we'll see what happens in the near future. Well, that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank Hussein Kiflo, a social and political commentator, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And we'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. Just in case you missed this program, you can still access it by going to our main website. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@vonews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, in Washington.